Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I'm so excited that you joined us. You got to stay tuned for this whole program. You're going to be so amazed at some of the things that are taking place. Well, it's time to confront radical Islamic terrorism, or Islam, as some of them say. We're going to hear an actual Muslim stand before the Congress at a hearing to be able to say we need to confront it. And we're also going to hear former Muslims saying we have to confront it. But first, we want to hear our president at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, where he's saying we are going to confront radical Islamic terrorism. We're not going to let them come into our country, and it's going to stop. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Every day, our brave men and women in uniform are risking their lives to keep this country safe from murderous groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and so many more. We must confront this evil that plagues humanity and eradicate it from our planet. The vicious slaughters in Manchester and the streets of London underscore the depths of depravity that we face. But these atrocities only harden our resolve. We're getting better and better and tougher and smarter, Christian. We cannot allow radical Islamic terrorism to spread in our country or allow extremists to find sanctuary on our shores. We will protect our country. We will protect our families. And our ways of life will always be protected. We will crush this enemy that is waging war on all of civilization. Last month, I traveled to Saudi Arabia to speak to the leaders of more than 50 Muslim and Arab countries and to rally them in the common fight against terrorism, which is a menace to people of all religions. There can be no coexistence with this violence. I told these leaders that they must drive out this enemy from the face of the earth. Every child of God, no matter where they live, what language they speak, or what book they live by, deserves to be able to grow up in harmony, dignity, and peace. In that summit, the likes of which there has never been any summit like it. You've seen it, you watched it. We reached historic agreements to fight not only terrorism, but the wicked ideology that really drives it. I mean, it's just driving it. And to starve this enemy of the funds, the billions and billions and billions of dollars that's being poured out into the enemy. I think it was one of the great, great summits, and I think it's going to have a profound effect on terrorism. Finally, because my administration is deeply committed to the right of religious believers everywhere to be free from persecution, I called on these leaders to protect Muslims and Christians and Jews and people of all faiths, because you know what's going on there, and it's horrible, horrible. Terrorism is a threat, and it is a big threat, to religious liberty around the world, and all responsible nations must protect the right of people to live and worship according to their conscience. Here in America, my administration is determined to work with you to protect your religious liberty, not just for some, but for everyone. Together, we can crush the horrors of terrorism. We can usher in a new era of faith, family, and freedom. Because we understand that a nation is more than just a geography. A nation is the sum of its citizens, their hopes, their dreams, their values, and their prayers. America is a land rich with history and culture and filled with people of courage, kindness, and strength. And though we have many stories that we all share at home, The one thing we do share is one beautiful destiny. And whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood. We all salute the same great American flag. And we are all made by the same Almighty God. We face many challenges. There are many hills and mountains to climb. But one by one, we will scale those summits and we will get the job done and get the job done correctly. We will prove worthy of this very, very important moment in history. As long as we have pride in our beliefs, courage in our convictions, and faith in our God, then we will not fail. And as long as our country remains true to its values, loyal to its citizens, and devoted to its Creator, then our best days are yet to come, because we will make America great again. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
This is so, so very, very important. Well, there's a hearing on June the 14th called the Counterviolence Extremists Islamic Radical Islam Hearing in Washington, D.C. It was so important because Asra Nomani, she was born in 1965. She's an Indian-born American activist and writer, but she's Muslim, and she's testifying before Congress, letting them know that that she's talking about GoDaddy hosting sites that are violence towards people and women, towards the nation. She talks about Amazon selling books about how to beat your wife for in regards to Islam. We want to hear her test. She's testifying in agreement with what we just heard President Trump say about radical Islam. Let's go there. This is a hearing in Congress that just took place.
I have lived on this earth and seen this ideology take root in communities from my hometown of Morgantown, West Virginia, to Northern Virginia, to the rest of the world. The heart of this sits in propaganda machines that are churning out this dawah of extremism. Those propaganda machines are in Qatar, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, and all of their proxies. Senator McCaskill, you said language matters. And as you said, Senator Johnson, we do have rules, contracts in this country when you incite violence, when you lead people to violate our U.S. laws. Amazon sent me overnight this book, Woman in the Shade of Islam, that outlines how a man can beat his wife. It was first delivered to me at my mosque in Morgantown, West Virginia, by the Muslim Students Association. Ideas matter. Words matter. We have to get at the heart of the ideas that are then leading people to violence. We are on a conveyor belt. We should not just look at all of these incredible programs that are dealing with people once they become violent. We need to address the ideas that take them on that conveyor belt to radicalization. And that is why I believe also that our internet companies are failing us, unfortunately. Amazon.com brought me this how-to book on how to beat a wife. GoDaddy in Phoenix, Arizona, hosts a website called Al-Minbar. I invite anyone to go there and use the search engine and just look up the word Jew and see how many ways they say that Jewish people should be murdered. They host the website of Hizb ut-Tahrir, the Islamist organization based in Northern Virginia and Chicago that wants an Islamic state. We're not doing enough to police these bad ideas. These are ideas that are not protected simply by our free speech rights in America. They are ideas that incite violence. We stand together against white supremacists. We should stand together against Muslim supremacists. They exist, as all of the members of our panel have agreed upon. And unless we go to the heart of the problem, we will continue to be fighting terrorist acts for the generations to come. We have to dismantle the network of these bad ideas that are being put forward into the minds and hearts of young people. And we have to do it today. We have to investigate, we have to dismantle, and we have to put forward exactly the positive ideas. In the Muslim Reform Movement, our ideas are for secular governance, for peace, for human rights, including women's rights, consistent with the UN Declaration of Human Rights. We have to put forward the good ideas and shut down, eliminate, and take from this earth these bad ideas, either through our relationships with these countries that are putting forward these ideas, or by any means that we are able to then stop the promotion of those ideas into the minds of our young people.
So many people have been calling for Muslims like Nomani to stand up and say, speak out against this. Well, sure, she's right there in Congress saying it's wrong, just like the president's saying it's wrong. The fact that Amazon is selling books on how to be able to beat your wife if you're a Muslim husband, or these different things going on, or GoDaddy's hosting sites about how to, different ways to be able to, reportedly according to her, to kill Jews. I mean, that needs to be able to stop. Well, also at this particular hearing was Yvonne Hirsi-Avi. She is, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is Dutch. She was born in 1969. She's a Somali-born Dutch-American activist, feminist, author, a former Dutch politician. She actively opposes honor violence, child marriage, female genital mutilation. She founded an organization for the defense of women's rights called AHA, A-H-A Foundation. She's a former practicing Muslim, but now she's an atheist. She has received numerous death threats because of her criticism of Islam, but she's standing up boldly right there before Congress, and she's saying we have to do something about radical Islam, the Islamists. Take a look.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to go back to the big picture. And listening to Mr. Leiter, I think you, in your capacity working in the government, you've worked very, very hard, and I really appreciate that. But I want to evaluate, if we reflect on how this government has performed since 9/11/2001 and how other Western governments have performed, my evaluation would be we have failed. We have failed. We have these small programs that, if you look at the big picture, look like small drops in the ocean. We have spent trillions of dollars. We have waged wars since 9/11. The Islamists, the radicals, whatever name you choose to call them, they have grown exponentially. Their sympathizers, the agencies, the money, the funding that they get, all of that has grown exponentially since 9/11. And if our posture on 9/11/2001, if it was, we are going to take the war to them and we're going to stop this evil, in 2017, we can barely say that we have stopped that. It has doubled, tripled, in some places it has quadrupled. We have completely failed to define the enemy. And because we have failed to define the enemy, we're flying blind. Our ambition cannot be, we are going to develop all of these programs to stop or to limit the consequences of the next attack. In 2001, it was, we're going to stand for no attack at all. If you look at some of the other countries, I'm really, really worried, and I think we don't have the sense of urgency here, worried about some of these European countries. Do you realize that France is in a state of emergency since November 13, 2015? Germany has closed some mosques. Radical right-wing groups in Europe are on the rise as they have never been. I have lived in Holland for 14 years. And when I came, there was a very small, small radical right-wing group. And today, it's the second largest party. In Britain, after this attack in London, the authorities said there were 3,000 people they were surveilling, but there are 20 other thousand people at large. It is absolutely true that when it comes to mounting large-scale attacks, we've made it very, very difficult for them to do that. And they may not succeed, and I hope they don't succeed. But when it comes into entering the minds of human beings and turning them into live missiles against us because they promise them hereafter, that is fantastic, that in that sense we have failed. And in that sense, because we don't get to the ideology, we don't want to talk about this problem, we are now seeing thousands and thousands of men and increasingly women who are prepared to use anything as a weapon, their cars, their knives, etc. And it is very easy for us to say, and convenient maybe, to say this is happening online. But that is not entirely true. It's still happening in the mosques. After the recent attacks in Brussels, in Germany, in France, mosques have been raided and closed. It is happening in people's living rooms. It is happening in schools. What exactly is happening? It's what I call dawah activities. It is an evangelization that is carried out by Muslims who accentuate the political military doctrine that they are raised with. And they are using that doctrine to turn people's heads and minds away from the principle Senator Harris just left. But she said, what we thought were universal decency, that is what their minds and hearts are being turned away from. And their minds and hearts are being turned away to the idea that you are doing God's work, Allah's work, to kill people, to maim, to repress, and to bring down societies. It hasn't happened in the United States. It hasn't yet happened in Europe. But there are, in fact, countries in Africa that have been brought down, countries in the Middle East that have been brought down. And I think we need to bring to this discussion, I know this is the Homeland Senate Committee, and we don't speak for the entire government, but I don't think we should walk away from this morning, this afternoon when we're done, with the idea that there is no sense of urgency. There's a great deal of a sense of urgency. And between 2001 and today, we have failed, and we have failed miserably. And it's now time to correct our course.
I'm so glad that they're speaking before Congress and just telling it. We asked for that to happen. It's happening. We're not going to have enough time to be able to cover pneumonia again in regards to when she testified before Congress. But she just said very specifically, we'll make it available to you on VFN Torch. But she said that social media operators have to have moral courage to hold Muslims accountable for their terms of preaching hatred, murder, and racism. This is what she's a Muslim, and this is what she's actually saying. Also, she said that in regards to that we should give Islamists, radical Islam, we shouldn't give them a pass because we're afraid to offend Muslims. She talked about that. And she's a Muslim now. And she's testifying before Congress saying we need to be able to stop this. Well, you might not know this, but just think about the story. Where does Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, how come they're such a, you know, the top three faiths in the world? Where do they come from? And how come they all have, talk about Abraham? Is it the same Abraham? And we're going to talk to you. This is the difference between the three, understanding, obviously, you know, we're Christians. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jews come from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there's a twist when it comes to Islam. Take a look.
In a plot twist so strange, it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously, you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now, on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derived from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace, where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place. Now, there are those who take a bit of a different stance and say, well, it's going to happen through human development, not necessarily in the hands of one person, but collectively it will take place.
The messianic beliefs of Christians and Muslims represent a sort of anti-parallel. Similar stories told from very different perspectives with very different outcomes.
I think of it as a photographic negative of each other.
Christians believe the returning Messiah will be Jesus Christ. Islam's savior is the Mahdi, who will emerge as the Pope, President, and General of the world.
According to the Bible, the Antichrist revives an empire. According to Islamic end time view, the Mahdi revives an Islamic empire.
In the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Daniel says the Antichrist will set up his seat of authority on the Temple Mount in Israel and will actively persecute and martyr Jews as his enemies. Islam teaches the Mahdi will operate from the same Temple Mount in Jerusalem and will cause Jews and other non-believers to either convert to Islam or die.
On the biblical side, the Antichrist will specifically use the method of beheading to martyr his enemies, to destroy his enemies. On the Islamic side, it's within the Quran that says, strike the necks of the unbelievers. Some translations actually say, behead the unbelievers.
Revelation 13 says, the Antichrist will have an assistant, a false prophet. It refers to him as a dragon in the clothing of a ram or a lamb.
On the Islamic side, Muslims believe that Jesus returns. Again, they call him Isa al-Masih. He comes back as an assistant to the Mahdi. And he tells all of the Christians of the world, your Bible is corrupt. I never claimed to be the Son of God. I never died on the cross. The Christian religion is false. Islam is the true religion, and you need to follow the Mahdi.
The biblical Antichrist will reign for 7 years. The Mahdi, 7 years. Both religions talk about a mark of the beast. Christians believe it will be put on the forehead, wrist, or forearm of those who follow the Antichrist. Only those with the mark will be allowed to buy or sell goods. The Bible teaches that anyone taking the mark will ultimately be cast into hell.
Muslims have borrowed this concept of the mark of the beast. Muslims actually teach this individual known as the Dabat al-Ard. He is the beast of the earth. It comes up out of the earth. They believe he will be a literal beast, and it says that he will mark the foreheads of all true Muslim believers. So on the Islamic side, Muslims are actually hoping to be marked with the mark of the beast.
The Islamic faith also believes in an Antichrist figure called Ad-Dajjal al-Masih. it refers to him as the false Jewish Messiah, or Jewish King, who returns claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And the anti-parallel continues.
So when you look at Revelation 19, this is really the quintessential picture of the return of Jesus in the Bible. He bursts forth from heaven on a white horse. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then it says the kings of the earth gather together to make war against him. And you ask yourself, you say, what in the world are they thinking? This supernatural man just bursts forth from heaven, and they think they can defeat him. Well, when you understand Islamic eschatology, you understand these kings will actually believe that Jesus is the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and they will believe that it is their divine destiny to kill him.
Richardson believes the Muslim people have been set up by their own belief system to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, believing they are following their Savior, when in fact, they'll be following the biblical Antichrist.
That's so important to understand, because you're hearing continually, you know, Islam and Christianity and Judaism, and we understand that, okay, so Judaism and Christianity came from the same lineage, but Islam just came out of Ishmael's lineage, which is not, you know, what we believe God has done, and that's not where Jesus' lineage comes from. And without the only way to God is through his son Jesus Christ. And if you deny him, and when you think about that, what the Quran is saying, what you just heard, is that Jesus has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. That's what they believe. Well, there's no way into heaven outside through Jesus Christ. And so it's a false belief in regards to that. And if you deny Jesus, if you deny the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's where King David comes from. And Jesus comes from the branch of David and from the offspring of David. And so it just doesn't even apply in the context of that. And of course, Judaism's been here in Israel for 3,700 years, something like that. And Islam is a new faith that came, belief after that, way after that. And Christianity is the lineage of Jesus Christ, a Jew. And so it's so important for us to understand that. You know, people can believe whatever they want to believe. There's nothing about forcing anybody to believe anything. Of course, if you're a radical Islamic terrorist or a Islamist, they're different. They talk about a political belief system, mixed religion and government and politics, and come in. They literally want to create a caliphate, which is where the whole world ruled by Islam and by Sharia law, and that they're over it. And if you're not a believer in the Quran, in Muhammad, then they would consider you an infidel, and you would either have to pay a jizya, you have to pay a tax, you know, pay tribute to their government. This is what they would want. Or you would be beheaded, but you definitely would be a slave. You have to pay jizya, or you would be beheaded. This is what radical Islamic and the Quran. I mean, you can go to VFNTV.com, go to the VFN Torch. When you hover over the VFN Torch, a drop-down menu comes up, and you'll see, you know, Islam. And we have Islam 101. We have some basic understandings. But the Islam as we know it, the Quran, what the Quran says, it's not a peaceful religion. Those quote scriptures, we would say, that they were reading from, that came out of the Quran. Literally, they talk about, you know, that where we believe and understand that the beast is going to come from the earth, and he's going to put a mark on everybody, and anybody gets the mark, they're going to be cast in the pits of hell. Well, they're believing, according to the Quran, and you just saw it, you read it, that this beast is going to come out of the ground, it's going to put a mark on them, and they're going to be glad to get the mark, because it's the antithesis. And they said that the Son of Man would come down, or the man would come down who claimed to be the Son of God and repent for being the Son of God, and he would actually help the Mahi or whoever that is that came down, their particular God. Well, that helps you understand why, you know, who's going to make war against the Son of God? You know, you think about that. But you're looking at, you remember the Armageddon battle that takes place, that the blood goes all the way up to the bridles of the horses? And you find out why, because they believe a bipolar opposite of the truth. They're making war on that belief system against Jesus Christ when he returns on a white horse. Remember, he comes back making war on the earth, and they're fighting him. And so you're seeing this false belief system that permeates so much. But I want to encourage you, you know, if you haven't yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you don't understand what's going on, if your parents were raised Muslim or they're raised some other religion, you know, and you're thinking like, you know, I want to know this Jesus, because they're thinking about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Listen, it's out of love. It's not about smiting the neck of the unbeliever. God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you so you could be in relationship with him forever. He rose his son from the dead on the third day so that he would be the first from the dead. So we too would be raised from the dead if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's awesome. So when you think about that, I know some friends of mine who used to be, one particular friend of mine, he used to be a radical jihadist terrorist. He came to America to be able to, quote, take his inheritance. But when he got to America, you know, he was spreading his faith for a while there, but he got in a car accident. And when he got in this car accident, his name is Kamal Saleem. He has a ministry called Qum Ministries. But when he got in a car accident, you know, he was hurt. So they took him to the hospital. And guess what? The doctor was Christian. The nurses were Christian. They loved on him. They brought him to their house after he had to heal, and they just gave him a car and just took care of him and fed him and all this kind of stuff. And everything he was told that about Islam, that Christians are mean and hateful and they'll hurt you, it wasn't true. They were full of love and kindness and forgiveness and mercy. And so it just brought great confusion in his life, Kamal's life. So Kamal, he leaves this Christian home. He's so confused. Now he goes back to his apartment. He gets on his hands and knees and he cries out to Allah and he says, what's going on? I don't understand. Everything I was ever taught is not true. These Christians are nice, they're loving, they're kind, they're merciful. And he waited for Allah to answer and he didn't answer. So then he prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he cried out to him and guess what? He answered and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He understood that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who gave his son, Jesus Christ, is real. He's living. He's alive. And when he called out to him, guess what? He showed up. I'm feeling him right now. Maybe that's you right now, and you have not called out to him. You believe so much religious garbage that you haven't got a chance to just, what do you believe? I mean, you've got to spend eternity with your decision. And you can make a decision like Kamal Saleem and say, you know what? You know, I'll call out to both. I'll call out to all. If there's any answers right here, so be it. But listen, the God who's alive, living, and active is Jesus Christ. And when you call out to him, listen, he loves you. There's many, many former Muslims right now that are getting saved in Northern Africa. They're being saved throughout the world. God's given them dreams and they're finding out about the loving kindness of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you right now, if you want to find out how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, you can go to meetmyfather.org. Also, if you want to know more information about Kamal Saleem, we'll make that available to you. Just let us know. Go to the contact area on our website, and we will send that right to you. Radical jihadist terrorist attack in Manchester, London. And when these things happen, we have to understand that many people begin to look for God during those times. And as a matter of fact, they had a One Love Manchester conference there to be able to singers came to be able to just share their love with the people of Manchester. But what was interesting, I thought, was Justin Bieber, a singer, his heart just melted for the Manchester people, and he talked about God is here. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
God is good in the midst of the darkness. God is good in the midst of the evil. God is in the midst. No matter what's happening in the world, God is in the midst. And he loves you, and he's here for you. I just want to take this moment to honor the people that were lost or that were taken. We love you so much. To the families, we love you so much. Put both hands up to honor those people right now. Everybody say, we honor you.
We honor you.
And we love you.
We love you.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
It's so important to remember to be ready at that moment when people begin to reach out to God, and he was accurate in his portrayal of God there.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.